the life of one person here today. And so, Father, our hearts and minds are open to receive from you today. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Everyone that is looking up to you for one thing or the other, Father, by your words today, meet them at their point of need.
Amen.
And let that word bring a comfort that is everlasting. To you, Father, we give all the glory of the testimonies that will come forth as a result of this word in the life of your people today. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Amen. The worst thing that can happen to a human being is to lack creativity. So I have put my creativity to work by sitting down. If there is no pulpit, we will still preach the gospel.
Amen.
Glory be to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Now, I title today's message, Receive God's Comfort. Help me tell your neighbor, receive God's comfort. Praise the Lord. The scripture that we read was a story of the life of one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. His name was Paul. He was talking to the believers in Corinth and telling them about his experience as a believer, as a born-again Christian, and as someone who is an ambassador for Christ everywhere that he went. And he said there were many sufferings, tribulations that he encountered along the way. As he went about doing the will of God. That's why the devil wants you to believe that when you are faced with some challenges in your life, it's because God is not for you. God is not with you. God is angry with you. God is punishing you. God is mad at you. But the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Paul was in the will of God. The trials and the tribulations that Paul encountered, he encountered them in the will of God, not outside the will of God. Praise the Lord. He was doing exactly what God called him to do, obeying the word of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God everywhere that he went. But he said, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant of what our experiences were. Things were tough. We faced many bumps on the road. There are many potholes. The enemy withstood us on many occasions. We suffered in the hands of people. We were denied, we were betrayed, we were mocked at. Do I have a witness in the house? We were abused, both verbally, physically, and emotionally. Paul told them, he said, it got to a point, I ran out of strength. Glory be to Jesus. I completely ran out of strength. Thanks be unto God for our heroes of faith who did not hide their frailties from us. Lest we begin to think that there's something wrong with us when things are not going our way. That's why I'm very careful of the company that I keep. I'm mindful. I'm wary of people who only have to talk about their conquest and not talk about their crisis. Because they make you feel as if there's something wrong with you. Oh, I wish there's someone here that the Holy Ghost has sent me to. Amen.
Amen.
They talk as if, oh, what you are going through is because you have no faith. Beloved, I have faith in God. But guess what? Your faith can bring trouble to you. Glory be to Jesus. The very fact that you have faith, the whole of hell will gang up against you. Because their mission is to destroy that faith. They know that if your faith should produce, they are in trouble. Because they start losing converts. Your faith that has produced a testimony will get some people and rescue them out of hell. So you see the reason why the devil wants to attack you. He's attacking your faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Paul revealed what he went through. A great man of faith and of power. He said, let me not lie to you. This is what I faced. I faced serious persecutions. It got to a point I ran out of strength. He said, I despaired of life itself. He despaired life. Do you know what it means when you despair life? It means that you are going to the point that you are saying to yourself, what is the purpose of living? Yeah. If you despair life, you are saying living is no longer worth it. To me, that sounds suicidal. This is Paulo. I ran out of strength to the point where I despaired of life. But thank God for God. Hallelujah. He said, but God delivered us from every tribulation that we faced. Hallelujah. And he said something also. He said, and he will yet deliver us. That's the point I really want to make today. If God has once delivered you, once, he's going to deliver you again. Now, it is important that you and I hold on to our evidence. Those of you who are lawyers in the house, if a case is brought against your client, you want to know the evidence they have against your client. If you want to prosecute something for a wrong, somebody for a wrongdoing, you want to know what is the proof that this person did what he's been accused of doing. So the person has to present evidence to support his case that this person is guilty of what he has been accused of. There must be evidence. Evidence helps to concretize your case in your favor. You don't go to court, for instance, and want to argue to defend somebody, and then they are asking you, where is the evidence? Do you have any exhibit here? Any evidence to do? And you say, it's a hunch. I just have an idea that the person didn't do it. It can work. Praise the Lord. Do you know, even in court, even if you go there and say, by the Holy Ghost, it was revealed to me in the dream of the night that this person did not commit, it will not be admissible. Pastor Yemi, will it be admissible? Because the law court is a legal court. It's not a spiritual court. So spiritual evidence are unacceptable. Praise the Lord. So, beloved, when God has delivered you ever from anything. In fact, the fact that you are delivered from the power of darkness as an unbeliever, and you are now translated into the kingdom of God's dear son as a believer, a child of the living God, that's mighty deliverance. It's the greatest deliverance that you and I will ever experience. Praise the Lord. That enough is enough as proof and evidence against any satanic onslaught. So, you do yourself a lot of good to hold on to your evidence. Help me tell your neighbor, hold on to your evidence. If God has ever been good to you, is there someone here, God has been good to you? Now, truly, you will say God has been good to you. No, some people didn't put up their hands. So, I think there are some people, God has not been good to them here. Because if you say that he has not been good to you, we will want you to share your experiences with us so that we will have an evidence against God that he has not been good. Hello? If God has been good to you, think back. Because sometimes when we are faced with serious trials in our lives, those concerns has a way of clouding our judgment to the point where you think God has not been good to you. God has not done anything good for you because of how you are feeling right now. Because of the pressure that you are encountering, the trials that you are facing in one area of your life or in multiple areas of your life. The power for your deliverance is in your evidence. Write that down. The power of your deliverance is in your evidence. So why? That is the reason why the devil wants to kill your evidence. Praise the Lord. Do you know in the Bible, how many of you have heard the story of Lazarus? Yeah. Lazarus was Jesus' evidence. Amen. Do you know that at one point they wanted to kill Lazarus? They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he is the evidence. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And somebody that had died 4 days ago rose up from the dead. Ah. They said, we are going to lose all our converts. Because this has never happened before. It was a mighty evidence. Has God been good to you? Yes. Hold on to your evidence. That is your power for your next deliverance. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let's go back to our text. Let me show you something. Let's see how Paul himself was able to overcome. Because as he himself shared with us all his own frailties, he said, I became suicidal. I wanted to die because I despaired of life. He couldn't see anything good in life. He was serving God, a child of God. He knew God delivered him. He knew who he was before Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus. He changed him. And because of that, he said, for the rest of my life, I will live for this God. But it got to a point where living for God became very challenging for him in life. And the issue is, how do I now deal with it? You know, there were times that I've encountered serious challenges in my life, and I speak to myself, I preach to myself, and tell myself, Oluyika, one thing is certain in what you are going through right now. You cannot deny the goodness of the Lord in your life. one I cannot deny. I cannot say that God has not been good. And once you can testify that God has been good to you, it cancels out every reason you have to think and to conclude that in your present situation, he will not deliver you. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. It cancels out whatever reason you have. Because what he did yesterday, he can do today. And he can do tomorrow. The power of God never dissipates. He does not expend his power on you today. And then tomorrow he say, wah, wah, wah. The one I gave you yesterday is enough. No. Hallelujah. The compassion of God faileth not. It never runs out. It never runs out. This month, it will not run out in your life.
Amen.
It will not run out in your home.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you receive that, you need to shout a bigger amen.
Amen.
So shall it be for you in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians. Let's see how Paul dealt with it, because there must be something that he knew. He first told us about all the problems and all the troubles that he was facing. He said, brethren, I will not hide it from you. It was not easy. Hello, somebody. He said it was not easy. Like I was sharing with my brother here a few days ago. Because sometimes, you see, when you are faced with Holy Spirit, I haven't got enough time to really play with you today. If you look at the case of David, David himself testified of how he had victory over the lion and the bear. Is that not so? He testified in front of the king. He said, this one is what? Is a small problem. Me that have fought the bear, I have fought the lion. I took the cub out of his mouth, out of his jaw. I can fight this Goliath. And he did. Did he not? Of course he did. Fantastic. You can imagine the level of the confidence in which David will be operating in after he killed Goliath. A man that was not known by anybody, he became household name. Praise the Lord. But when he faced Saul himself, he ran away. Hello, somebody. He ran away. What am I trying to say? Paul did not hide from us that sometimes when you are talking confidently about something, there is still another level. And at every level, there is a new devil. Glory be to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And it will get to a point. You see, because God does not, there is no victory or success that you have in life that God does not want to be part of it. You are not going to get to a level and then do some exploits and God will not be involved. If he's not involved, he's not of God. Praise the Lord. When God gives you a task, he's the one that is going to get the task done. So he needs to constantly remind us, lest we forget who really truly is in charge. Glory be to Jesus. Lest you think that, yes, you have accomplished it. I have done all these kind of exploits. So when a new devil comes, it gets you into the point where you are completely at your wit's end. Now you don't know how to deal with this particular devil. The same thing happened to the children of Israel. Read it in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. God delivered the whole of Jericho into their hands. Amen. Jericho was to be the biggest challenge that they will face on their way to the promised land. And Jericho fell. and they took on a new territory. Now they needed to fight one small village with very low population. And they thought to themselves, the walls of Jericho came down from, what are you talking about? They wanted to do this in my job. If you see how God showed up for me, this one, we don't even. So they went ahead thinking they don't need God because they think this is a small battle. Hello, somebody. Except that they got there. They said, what's going on here? They took off. They ran away. They ran back. They retreated. A small village. You can imagine somebody coming to conquer the whole of Lagos, as big as Lagos is. And they conquer it. So they now said, one small village in my hometown there. And my people came out. I said, where are you coming from? Not here. And the people are running away. Somebody that conquered the whole of Lagos. That was their experience. And God needed to show them that without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So lest you forget, you need me in this race of life. You need me at every turn. Don't think I can handle this. Like somebody, I remember somebody said in this church one time. He said, Pastor, when Pastor said, let's pray, we want to be praying on so-and-so day for those who are in businesses, be coming so that we'll prophesy over your life and your business. And so-and-so, and say, Pastor, we don't need that. You know, business, that one is business. You are not a businessman. We don't need that. What are they trying to say? God is not involved in business. That one, it requires our intellectual capacity. And God is not required. What we need is our skill. And we are skillful at what we do. And our skill has been delivering for us. Hello, somebody. Amen. So we don't need God in the marketplace. Hello. So, God said, you don't need me in the marketplace. Beloved, you are free. If there is one mistake that I made after I created man and I empowered him, is to give him his own will. Because it is his will that he can use against me, the giver of the will. Glory. Yes. So he said, well, you go and do your will. Except that their business is collapsed. Things were not working the way it was working before. I said, didn't they read the Bible? Didn't they read about the exploits of Peter in fishing business? He told Jesus, no, we don't need you. We are fishermen from beginning. We are astute in our business. We know what to do. We know where the fishes are. We know when to fish. We know when to go to the waters. But we can't get anything. Jesus said, it is good that you have come to your wit's end. It is good that you have run out of all your intellectual capacity. Now let me show you spiritual capacity. Let me introduce you to it. Now, put your net on the right side. And they cast their net on the right side. And they caught fishes. Eh? What's happening here? Jesus said, the spiritual controls the physical. Right. Hallelujah. When a natural door is shut against you, we have the confidence that the spiritual can still open that door. Praise the Lord. So God needs to make a difference. You see, this is how God sanctifies himself before man. To let man know that without me, you can do nothing. He let Jacob know all your tricks that you have been using that has carried you thus far. You will get to a point where you will meet me face to face. At that point, your wit, your intelligence, your intellect will be of no value. Because you will try to use all of it, it will not deliver to you the victory you want. Praise the Lord. So let's see how Paul went about it. Verse 3. What was the first thing that he said? He said, blessed be God. So the first thing, look, he said this when he was actually in the midst of serious pressure and tribulation. Remember that he said, look, right now I really despair of life. I mean, it has gone to that point that this issue that I'm facing in my life, in fact, I don't even know the purpose of my living. Why am I in this life? Nothing seems to be going well for me. When I think that I take one step forward, I'm taking five backwards. Hello? I'm sharing one testimony here, and all hell is breaking loose in less than 1 week. I was sharing with my brother of someone's testimony that said, in one day, the devil tried to kill me 3 times. In one day, in the same day. He was driving, he said his car caught fire. He didn't see the fire. Somebody else driving on the road, while they were the ones saying, fire, fire, fire. He said he looked back, he didn't see any fire in the car. But he got down anyway. And he said, by the time they opened the boot, they put fire, the whole thing was screeching. They left the car there. Well, what is it? And then they were just flagging somebody down. Man of God, you are the one. He entered the car with his wife. He said, okay, you are going back to Lagos. Yes, we'll take you to Lagos. On the way to Lagos, so they had reached maybe after redemption camp. It was already late. They had an accident again. The car tumbled and tumbled and tumbled. But they came out of the place alive. They didn't die. As they were still trying to make sense of what has happened, Amdroba showed up. Hello? The same day. What do you have there? Bring everything. Bring something. While they were still trying to do this, the car that broke down, their own car, the driver that they left with the car had started the car. Nothing was wrong with the car. He drove it all the way to where they were. And the security man that was in the car. So when they saw it, they said, hey, this is a man of God's car. Now what's happening? Are they there? Armed robbers. So the security man that was there started shooting. And the armed robbers ran away. That was how they were saved. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I ran out of strength. The trials were too much for me. I despaired of life. I didn't want to live again. But what was the first thing that he did? Blessed be God. In other words, what do we do when we are faced with tribulations and trials to the point where we despair life itself and its life? I cannot go on anymore. I can't go on with this shame. I cannot go on with this reproach in my life. He said, blessed be God. So what's the first thing?
Worship
is the first thing. In your time of trial, the first thing you do,
you worship God.
He said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who he was. He knew who God was. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of who? Of mercies. Are you listening? This is why I told you initially, I said, don't let the devil steal your evidence. The Father of mercies. You see, because the devil does not want you to remember the good that God has done for you when you are in trouble. He doesn't want you. He wants you to see gloom and doom, that nothing is going to happen. And until you bless God and you recognize him as a God of mercy. And what else? The God of all comforts. Glory be to Jesus. Whoever and whatever you call him, he will be in your life. Praise the Lord. If you see him as a God of mercy, mercy will locate you. If you see him as a God of all comforts, he will comfort you in your tribulation. How you see him is how he will appear to you. How you see him is how he will visit you. If you see him as Jehovah Jireh, he will provide for you. If you see him as Jehovah Rapha, he will heal you. If you see him as Jehovah Shammah, his presence will envelope you. Glory be to Jesus. So he said in his trials, the Father of mercies, he was worshiping him. Now, you see the difference. I told somebody, I said, wisdom is profitable to direct. When you are faced with situations, you really need to know what to do that will deliver you and hand victory over to you. Whether it is prayer, you need to know whether it is prayer. Whether it is praise, you need to know whether it is praise. Whether it is worship, you need to know whether it is worship. Whether it is to give or sow, you need to know that giving is what is going to do it. Sowing is what is going to do it. You need to know that. You cannot pray your way out of what you need to sow your way out of. So it's not a case of, Lord, have mercy on me. No, Paul didn't say, God, have mercy on me. He worshipped him as the God of all mercies. And God of all comfort. Now, verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation? What is he talking about? This is past tense. So he's giving evidence of past deliverances. God, you delivered me on so situation. Lord, I called on you and you showed up for me. Lord, I ask you of this blessing and you bless my family. Hallelujah. Who comforted us in all our tribulation that we be able to comfort them which are in any trouble? We will go to that. Just hold on to that. Amen. For, this is verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded in Christ. As we face all manner of sufferings in this race of life, there are all manner of sufferings that we go through. Hello? Lack is suffering. When you don't have enough. When you cannot meet basic necessities of life. When you are even suffering to do the right thing. You know, sometimes you suffer for doing the right thing. Yes. You can be denied of some things just because you choose to do what is right. Hallelujah. You can be in a situation that you can enrich yourself in an unrighteous way and you have need. And like somebody was saying of one, maybe he's a clerk in somebody's office. And they said they were going to send the children out of school because of lack of payment of school fees. And the man was thinking, where will this money going to come from today? And one man came in, wants to see the boss, the commissioner. I said, I want to see the commissioner. Sir, is your name on the list? Because he's very busy today. He has meetings with many people. What's your name, sir? So I check it on the list. I said, look, my name is not on the list. What will it take to see the commissioner? And the first thing the man was thinking about is, my children's school fees.
this is how it's going to be paid. You need something, I have something, let's negotiate. Hello, somebody. And he's a Christian. So he will now go to church on Sunday. Praise the Lord, oh God of favor. Ah, that's not favor. That's not favor. That's bribery. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. And many people face that kind of a situation, and you just think, well, it really doesn't matter. It's God that is favoring you. Let me tell your neighbor, keep living. God will sanctify himself in your situation. He will set himself apart. That's what it means to sanctify. He will set himself apart. You will come to know that the definition of bribery is different from the definition of favor. In case you got it all mixed up, it will come to a point, God will help you to separate it. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When Nebuchadnezzar thought it was a joke, that the God that Daniel was having, which kind of God be this one, serve? God said, oh yeah, for 7 years, go and eat grass as an animal. By the time the 7 years was complete, and he came out as a real man, he said, the God of Daniel is the real God. Because God will always sanctify himself before the people. Don't equate me with man. I'm not a man. I am God. I can do as I please. I kill and I make alive. Nobody can declare you guilty if I say you are acquitted. If I show you my mercy, nobody can say I cannot do it. I walk according to the counsel of my own will. Who can advise me? If I stretch forth my hand, who can bend it back? If I shut a door, who can open it? I'm God all by myself. You need to give him praise. That's the God. Paul knew him. He knew what he could do. He has experienced his deliverance before. So he said, I have no choice but to worship this God. This is not about the time to complain. This is not about the time to grumble and be murmuring against this God. God, why have you not done this in my life? Why did you allow this thing to happen to me? I am serving you with my spirit. Why would the devil continue to attack me and oppress me and constrain me and contain me? Why am I not progressing? Why am I not fruitful? Why are things, why? Paul says, I do not belong to the club of the wise. I belong to the club of the worshipers. I worship him in the beauty of his holiness. For I have experienced his power and I have my evidence. I will not allow you, devil, to steal my evidence. So blessed be God of all mercies, God of all comforts. Hallelujah. He is a comforter. No one can comfort the way God comforts. Glory be to Jesus. He will bring comfort when you begin to worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This God is too sweet. That's why when I read the Bible, I say, God, me, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Because you see, it's very easy to be praising God. Ah, praise the Lord. Ah, the God is good. Ah, and we're going to church. Ah, we have this one. When hell breaks loose, will you do the same? We went to visit somebody. I said, ah, brother, we have not been seeing you in church. Ah, he said, well, it's not church I need now. It's money I need. Ah. Because he doesn't know him yet. He does not know him yet.
He doesn't know him. That he's the God of all comforts. When God comes to comfort you in your lack, he brings abundance. You see, when you people talk of comfort, you are thinking that, oh, maybe somebody that is bereaved. And then you go and comfort them. No. When I don't have money, and God sends somebody to me and say, God asked me to give you this money, I'm comforted. Oh. Hallelujah. When you are in pain, and you receive the power of healing in your life, you are comforted. Glory be to Jesus. He is the God of all comforts. He brings comfort. Your testimony of God's power in your life is his comfort that he brought you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Receive his comfort today in Jesus' name. In your situation, receive his comfort in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's quickly run over this and I'm done. Are you getting something from this? Hallelujah. So he worshiped God. Number two, what did he do? He knew who was deserving of the praise. He knew that it was God. Amen. Number three, he knew him as a merciful father. Number four, he was fully persuaded that for every situation that he faced, every chaos, every crisis that he may ever encounter, God will comfort him. God will console him. Praise the Lord. He knew it. And that's why he referred to him as the God of all comforts. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says it. And that was what Paul said. He said, I am fully persuaded that whatsoever I have committed into his hands, he is able to keep. I know him. I know. Do you know him? Because that is the real question. Do you know him? If you know him, then you will speak like Paul spoke when he was in tribulation. When he was facing the harshness of life. I know of whom I have believed. And I am fully persuaded. He didn't say, well, I'm partially persuaded. I am fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded. What actually persuaded him? It is his evidence. How do you move the jury or the judge to deliver judgment or ruling in your favor? The judge must be fully persuaded. And that's why the judge will say, based on the evidence that is before me. Hallelujah. I am fully persuaded by it that he will comfort me yet again. Let me tell your neighbor, he will comfort you yet again. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. John 14, verse 16 to 18. John 14, verse 16 to 18. Brother Bambo, please quickly read. Yes. And I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. So the Comforter is the Spirit of truth. Yes. He said the word can't receive. That is the reason why the way God comforts, the world can never give such a comfort. And this is the mistake a lot of people make. And the world makes. And unfortunately some believers too. Who are looking for comfort in so many different places where there is no comfort. The comfort we receive from God, the comfort that God provides, is everlasting. It's the one you can depend on anytime, anyway, in any situation. It will never fail you. That's the kind of comfort that God provides. That's the one he brings. That's the one he gives to us. But the world is always looking for comfort in everything. Some people want to make money. And money is what they derive comfort from. But what happens? It's not lasting. It depreciates. Any little bump on the road, what happens to it? And then they are losing money. They lose their peace. Because their comfort was derived from money. Having money. So when they don't have it, they are discomforted. But one good thing about us, believers, is no matter what comes against us, hallelujah, the comfort of God is with us. Whether we lose something or whether we gain something, the comfort is constant. Praise the Lord. It doesn't leave us. The Bible says, it will be with you forever. Praise the Lord. So if you are losing your comfort, then your comfort is suspect. It's probably not in God. It's probably in your own strength. It's probably in your own wisdom. Hello? It's probably in people you know, in friendships you have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can work for a company and they will appoint you and say, you are the best staff they ever have in that company. The day the person that owns the company say, I'm folding up my company, what will you do? Nothing. So if your comfort is being derived from it, you see where you are in trouble. But if your comfort is from God, then you don't lose your peace. Job or no job, you are still at peace. Money or no money, I'm still comforted. For I know whose I am and whom I serve. He is the God of all comforts. He has delivered me once, and I trust him to yet deliver me again. Praise the Lord. Yes? Mm-hmm. All of you know him. Mm-hmm. Amen. And shall be in you. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. Let me tell your neighbor, God will not leave you comfortless. In that situation that you are facing, he will not leave you comfortless. In that trial that you are facing, he will not leave you comfortless. That is his promise. And God is a promise keeper. Yes. Amen. I will visit you. That's what he's saying. I will visit you with my comfort. That's what he's saying. Is there somebody who will receive that today? Read verse 26. Verse 26 of the same 14th chapter. But the Comforter, yes, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Oh, my goodness. If you are a student here, you don't have a problem. Oh. The only problem you have is not to read. But if you are reading, you see what they said? There is a comforter that will comfort you. So that the efforts that you have put in your studying will profit you in the day of your glory. That's what he's saying. If you are confused about what to do, maybe you are going for a presentation and you do not even know how to start. You are supposed to give a speech somewhere. You do not even know what to write. He said he would teach you all things. And it will bring to remembrance. Glory be to Jesus Christ. You know, in the car when I was coming today, I quickly checked my bag. I wasn't sure whether I brought my notes. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, what if you forgot it at home? What would you do? And I said, sir, you know now, we don't pass that stage. You will have to take over. Praise the Lord. You will have to talk. You are there. I can't do it on my own anyway, and I wasn't depending on myself. So you're going to have to show up. The first time I was going to stand in front of people to preach the gospel, pastor was supposed to, it was a Wednesday service. And pastor went somewhere, and he didn't arrive on time. And service started. We did praise and worship. They were singing. I was beckoning today. Oh yeah, continue. Continue doing praise and worship. After a while, I said, this is becoming something. First, I got angry. That was my first reaction to it. Where did he go? He knew that today is Wednesday service. This was what I was saying in my mind. What did he, why would he have to go out? What did he say? After all my puffing and fretting, I sat down. He still didn't arrive. So my fretting didn't change the situation. You see what happens when you're fretting? It doesn't change the situation. I didn't know that God had other plans. And God said, today is your day. I didn't know. So I got up, I went to the toilet, and I started praying. My hands were shaking. I took with me my Bible. I said, okay now, Holy Spirit, you are on the spotlight. What am I going to do? What will I share with the people? And one scripture just came to me. I didn't even know what was there. And I opened my Bible, I read the scripture, and something just came to my mind at that time as illustration to give to explain that scripture. I went out with boldness. See that day. Devil, where are you? Today is today. Men and brethren, here is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. By the time I finished teaching that day, we went out. I remember Pastor Bimbo came down and said, you know, that time we were still in the bank. Pastor Ewande, were you there? That he said, hey, Pastor Mrs. That was powerful. I've never had. Pastor Mrs. You have to preach. The God of all comforts. He brought comfort on that day. I don't know the crisis you are facing, but one thing I assure you of today, there is a God of all comforts. Who will deliver you and will still continue to deliver you, and he is with you, and he says to you, I will not leave you comfortless in your situation. You will not be comfortless. In other words, that trouble will not end your life. It's not your end. Because when comfort comes, it means that there is hope even for a better and a higher and a brighter level. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me quickly run through this and I close. Paul knew why he went through troubles. He also knew that it was for a purpose. Now, this is where a lot of us miss it. Because sometimes we really don't understand the way that God works. Because God always has a bigger picture. I have come to realize that whatsoever affliction that I am experiencing in life is not really about me. Do you know, whatever it is that you are facing right now and, you know, is really troubling you, do you know that it is not about you? May you receive this revelation that it is really not about you. Now, that tells me a whole lot of things about God. A whole lot of things. And some years back, God told me that thing. We'll talk about it more the whole of this month. Because this month, I believe God, and that's what God says. I'm bringing comfort. So I've received it. I said, this is my month of comfort. In every area of trouble, God is going to comfort me. Now, I don't know what that comfort is going to be for you, but I know that God knows how to comfort you. He knows the area you need that comfort. Some of you, you just need some level of promotion. You just been sitting on the same level, and they just need to acknowledge your effort. Praise the Lord. And God is saying to you, I'm going to come and come. Yeah, we comfort you. Praise the Lord. Some of you are just looking at it and say, I've been stagnant. You say, I'm going to comfort you with progress. Praise the Lord. Some of you have faced a lot of reproach in life. And he's saying, your reproach is going to turn to celebrations. Praise the Lord. That's the comfort that God is going to bring. Do you receive that? Oh, this is important. It's not about you. That's why Paul said, God comforted us so that we can comfort.